Today's message is entitled Positively Speaking. And I want to tell you that today's message is about positively speaking and is coming from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And I believe it's on the screen. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, very often we will get to a place, praise the Lord, some of that power must have slipped off on my sister. She was able to find my notes there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. And I guess some of that power brought Sister Reed in here too, didn't it? Holy Ghost picked her right on up. Ushered her right on in. Praise the Lord. Welcome back, sister. Good to see you. Amen. Positively speaking, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We live in a time when the world of social media demands and screams at us that we must conform to its negative mindset of self-centeredness. But such was not the attitude of our Savior, who showed us the pattern of servanthood, which is humility. There are six positive steps that we're going to talk about today that can help us and take us to a place where we can have a mindset or an attitude like that of Jesus Christ. This epistle to the church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul expresses his joy and his gratitude for the Philippians' love and financial assistance that they provided to him while he was in chains for the cause of preaching the gospel as a prisoner while he was there in Rome. One of the themes of the letter was its presentation of the humility of Jesus as a model servant for us. And so, in order to be a great servant, one that's going to be effective like Christ, we must have a mind of Christ or an attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Now, when I say positively speaking, I don't want to have a message that's all bubblegum and sugary and sounds good. That's not what we're looking at. I know sometimes we turn on TV, I like to watch messages and sermons and Bible studies, and sometimes there are people that are giving a gospel of such positivity that there's nothing negative available or happening in the world today. But sin is not positive. Death does not seem positive when people are hurting. We don't want to preach a message that's pie in the sky and forget all about the circumstances that we live through. But however, if you're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ and if you're going to serve him in some capacity, you can't have a negative feeling about yourself, nor should you be high-minded so much so that you are no earthly good. So we want to have that mindset, that attitude that Jesus Christ had. And our first point for today comes from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. While the world may bring us so many dark times, and we may have some circumstances that are dragging us through the mud, in Philippians 4, in the previous verses, Paul was telling us not to worry about things, but to pray about it, that the peace of God would, beyond all of understanding, would help us. But here in verse 8, he's telling us what we should be thinking of. If we're going to be positively minded to be like Christ, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, that means not everything on the internet that we read is true, not everything on Facebook that we read is true, not everything on Twitter, and I don't know all the other social media platforms they are, but that can't be what we grasp onto. It can't be what we focus on. We want to focus on things that are true, things that you can find in the Word of God. Whatever things are noble. I clicked on my page for the internet, and the first thing I saw was a bunch of news. And I clicked and said, don't show news feeds. That's not the first thing I want to see when I turn on the internet. I don't want to see the news. I want to find what I want to find. I don't want some telling me what I need to think about. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, my brothers and my sisters, these are the things that we should meditate on. Remember, we're dropping away from worrying and worration and wearing ourselves down with the world's troubles, but we will meditate on things that are of good report. If I'm going to be a servant who has a positive mindset like Christ, I want to be one who is thinking positive thoughts. Whatever things are of good report, think on these things. Some Christians, they fail to discipline their thinking. They allow negative to dominate their minds. Years ago, because I have a couple of illnesses, and I know that they are, one of them is going to take me out of this world, right, when it's God's time. But I used to think about death and dying maybe 50, 60 times a day. Thinking about, am I going to be able to take care of my family? Will there be enough for them? Is everything going to be all right? And I can remember I had a reaction to some medication, and I couldn't breathe, and I was upstairs. I couldn't breathe. All I could think about was, is my family going to be all right? I managed to get downstairs, gasping for air. My wife was saying, what's wrong, what's wrong? By the way, when someone is about to regurgitate and so forth, don't ask them what's wrong. I don't know why we do that. But she asked, what's wrong? And I couldn't tell her. I opened the refrigerator, and I got some water, and I was able to clear my throat so I could get a gulp of air. I know what it's like when you get to a place where this is it. I don't know where to go. What shall I do? Oh, but to have those positive thoughts is what we need to have. And he says that Christians must also take deliberate action. We must take deliberate action. Sometimes I turn the TV off because I don't want to hear something that I don't need to fill my mind with. Replacing negative thoughts with positives and keeping an optimistic outlook. Now, how can you do that when you're in jail in North Korea because of Christ? How can you say that when you're in a jail cell in Iran because you have been caught preaching the gospel? How can you do that when you are in Saudi Arabia and they found you with a Bible? By putting your minds on the things of Christ. You have to think positive thoughts, believing that God can come through. You know, Paul wrote this letter while he was chained, wasn't he? Yet, this is a letter of joy. So we know that whatever is true and honorable and just, pure and lovely, commendable, moral excellence, something that's praiseworthy, those are the things that we pay attention to. We won't succeed in having positive thoughts in the peace of God if we dwell on our circumstances. It's a mindset that must be intentional. We can't dwell on coulda, woulda, and shoulda. We can't entertain those negative thoughts that come across our minds, things about failure in our lives, worrying about things, or being prideful or envious of others. To keep the peace of God, we must be thinking about praiseworthy things. Which brings us to our second point, that we must hear positive sounds. Let us hear positive sounds. From the prophet Isaiah, verses 22 and 14, and we'll probably look at verse 13 in a minute. Many people listen to the filth, the junk and the stuff and the destruction coming across the airwaves or across the internet, across cable TV. Their spirits are no good. We must listen to the good and not the bad. We must hear from the Lord and heed his word. Here's what we see in Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 13. It says, but instead, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, here's the situation. Isaiah was trying to convey to the people there in Israel that they needed to understand that Babylon was coming. Destruction was near. And it says that they were eating and drinking and having a good time, saying, we may as well just party because tomorrow we will die. We need to hear positive sounds. What should they have been doing? They should have been listening to the Lord. It says, then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts, surely for this iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. In this passage, in this verse, God is revealing to Isaiah that the people, there's no hope for them. They've gone too far. They won't come back. They're so busy partying that they're not listening to the words of God. But God has revealed his words to us, not by prophets today, but his word is revealed to us through who? Jesus Christ. And where can we find the revealed word of God? We can find it in our Bibles. But if we don't listen, and if we don't take the time to get the revealed word of God, either from preaching, either from hearing, from a Bible study, from fellowshipping with someone who has given us the revealed word of God, if we live in our circumstances and we don't hear the positive words, but we hear our brother or our friend over here saying, I may as well bust hell wide open. I don't care. I have no hope anyhow. Who's going to care about me? I may as well just party till I die. One cannot be a good servant with a positive mindset when they don't hear the revealed word of God, but they listen to their buddy, to their friend, telling them one thing or another. The unrepentant actions of Jerusalem. These people were on rooftops watching the walls being breached by the enemy. And they were partying. They broke their houses down by the walls to try and prevent the enemy from coming in. And God is looking at them saying, you on the rooftop, don't you get it? Let me reveal this to Isaiah so he can reveal it to you. You're going to die if you don't repent, if you don't change your ways. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. Where's God? In heaven. That's a long distance phone call, but he's willing to pay the toll-free number. He said, I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. But when people don't listen for the positive message of the gospel of Christ, they don't hear the positive message from God's man. They don't hear the positive message from their friends who know the Lord, but would still take the time to listen to all the negative and all the degrading things, they will never get to a place where God can help them. Oh, we need to hear some positive sounds. So let us provide some positive sounds to our friends. And not only that, should we have positive sounds, but our third point is that let us see some positive sights. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Some Christians, they look for the bad in people and in circumstances, seeing only the faults and the negatives. Oh, tell me that we don't do that in church sometimes, don't we? Huh? In some of our churches in the United States, people come in looking for trouble, come in looking to see who's not doing this or not doing that, coming and looking and seeing what they want to see. Only positives, only faults and negatives. To be a positive servant, a person must look for the good and look to Jesus. Look for the good. We love one another as I have loved you. That's what Jesus says. And we know that love holds no record of wrongs. But we can't ignore that the cross exists because of sin. So we can't pretend that sin does not exist. So we don't overlook sin. But we must try and bring those who have sinned, including ourselves, to the right way, from the error of their ways. Galatians 6:1 says, for if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, lest ye also be tempted. So what do? We look to Jesus. And Hebrews 12 is using a reference to the Olympic Games that they had there during those times. When he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. laying aside every weight that may easily beset us, and run the race before us, looking to Jesus, who is our Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher, who died for me to give me life, the one who created the universe and holds it together, the one who was pierced for my sin. Armies can't defeat him. The Pharisees, they couldn't understand him. Schools, they can't stop him. Or you can't pray in school. I pray if I want to. You can't bring no Bible. I got Bible in my head. The devil can't beat him. He can only bruise his heel. Demons can't hide from him. The world can't stand him. Oh, but we have a Savior who is the author and the finisher of our faith. There was a race that I was in. It was the last race that I was in for my career as a track man. And the person who was next to me was the person who had beaten me earlier when I slipped and fell. So I made sure that I was right next to him. And I don't know where I came in the race. It was a district race, so there were several heats. Different races, various heats in the 100-yard dash. All I know is I'm going to beat this guy. My eye was on the finish line, and all he saw was the back of my shoes and some dust. I know he wasn't in front of me when I finished. You see, I had my focus on the finish line. If you're going to be a great servant, if you're going to be a servant who is positive in their mindset, you have to have Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who's got it at the end. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we think we can do. It matters that we trust him and let him work through us. So not only do we have to have positive sights, but let us, in our fourth point, speak positive words. Let us speak positive words. Psalms 105 and verse 2 says, "Talk ye of all his wondrous works." Talk ye of all his wondrous works. The song that we sang was full of his wondrous works. The song that we sang before we came up. It was full of his wondrous works, wasn't it? When we hear songs that talk about his wondrous works, like Psalms 105, as you read that psalm, you will see the wondrous works that God had with the children of Israel as they came from Egypt. It depicts a God who cared and loved his people, and there were many wondrous works that we find in that psalm. Some people talk mostly about evil stuff. Get around and cut buddies, all they do is talk about this or that. Bad events. Sometimes that's all people have a mindset to talk about. They won't say anything other than bad stuff. Evil, gossiping. Some are harsh against others. Unkind. Some even take God's name in vain. That's not speaking positive words. We should talk positively, seeking to glorify God with our tongues, extolling his goodness, his grace, and his love. You know, relationships sometimes can be on a tipping point based on the words that are expressed between one and another. The words that we speak to others can crush or heal And our attitudes will affect our expectation of ourselves if those negative words are from us to us about ourselves. One's personal growth can be stunted if they'll spend that time saying, I'll never be able to resist temptation. I'll never get away from the sin that I've been committing. I don't have the ability to stop. I'll never be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. But Paul chose to cling to a positive attitude. Remember what he says in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. He says he was forgetting what lies behind. Right? But we have to have some positive words. Words that says, I can overcome temptation, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Words that say, I can grow in my service to Christ. And I can love the unlovable. We have to have positive words if we're going to have a positive outlook as a servant of Christ with the mindset of Christ, an attitude like Christ. Then point number five, let us perform positive deeds. Let us perform positive deeds. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, we read these words. And whatever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And not unto men. This particular portion of Colossians is referring to bond servants to their masters. He is telling them, don't be lazy. Don't skip out on your work detail, but you do your work as though you are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we don't take 40-minute coffee breaks. Please don't take no smoke breaks. Saints. Amen. Now, I can say that because there's some folks that teach Bible study, and then I see them take a smoke break. And they have a great deal of influence on people at my job. But they not only do that, but they also use some language that is unseeming. And at times, when I'm in the same group area, they have said things such as, Kason said blankety blank, with some words I don't use. I'm quick to step up and say, no, I don't curse, and I don't use language like that. I'm not going to let you just say what you want to say. We have to perform positive deeds. Those things don't reflect positive deeds. These verses speaks of the servant or employer relationship to his employer. I want you to note that in this verse, we are encouraged to perform our work in a positive attitude, working for Christ. Like he is right on the job with us. And we do it when no one is looking. There have been times that I've had to be at work at 1 o'clock in the morning doing some work. Mrs. Kason can call my office phone and I pick up. Because that's where I am, doing my job. We consider that Jesus devoted his life of service in this world as a servant to man. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, he was ministering to us folk, us human beings, the same ones who spoke evil of him at times, the same ones who only wanted to get miracles, the same ones who only wanted to see the fireworks, the miracles, the same ones who plotted to kill him. But he died for all of us while we were yet sinners. But he came to serve man, to heal many, to have demons kicked out of our lives. He was a servant, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. It was his sacrificial life which stood as the foundation for the faith that we have in him. He did his work as the Father asked him to. He did his work as the Father told him. He emptied himself of his glory to serve. He emptied himself of his glory to serve. In Philippians, I think it's a pretty good passage. I should have given it to Brother Steve. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Look at verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, even though he was God, he humbled himself," in verse 8, "and became obedient." How obedient did he become? "To the point of death, even the death of the cross." Even the death of the cross. That's the kind of servant that he was. Oh, if we could have that mindset, if we could have that positive attitude, oh, the wondrous things that could take place in our lives and the blessings that we would receive if we were to have his mindset of a servant. Then, point number 6 says, "Let us attend positive places." If we're going to be a servant like Christ, then let us attend positive places. Psalms 122 and verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord." I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The house of the Lord at the time of this psalm would have been the tabernacle. And it would have been, if this was a psalm of David, it would have been a place that you would have to go up to if you were not in Jerusalem. For Jerusalem is on Mount Zion, and that's where the tabernacle was. So as people traveling from below are coming up Mount Zion to the gates there at Jerusalem and entering those gates and going to the house of the Lord, it was something that had to be intentional. It was considered an invitation to joy, and people embraced that invitation to joy. For when you had various festivals, it was required that you go to the house of the Lord. These people did not go out of compulsion, even though the law said that they should, but they did it out of pure joy, for they were going to the house of the Lord. There was something positive that going to the house of the Lord, the Creator and our Savior, that they treasured. When we want to go to the house of the Lord, we want to attend faithfully as much as we can. And we're going to go to be with God and to be with God's people. Oftentimes, Christians hurt their influence on other people when they go to the wrong places in search of entertainment. Oh, there's nothing wrong with going to a ball game. There's nothing wrong with going to a park. There's nothing wrong with going someplace to enjoy with your family. But we can't be attending places that people are looking at going, Even though we're free to go where we will, it may not be fruitful for people to see us in certain places that we ought not be. That's why we should be glad to go to the house of the Lord, for he is our hope. It's a positive example to our children. People looking up to us. What did you do this weekend? Did you go to church? I realize we're in a pandemic and we have shelter in place, and this does not apply to us when we're in that situation. The average attendance in church before COVID-19 is 2 out of 5 Sundays. So not everybody goes to church every Sunday. If someone attends church 3 out of 5 Sundays, that's called a regular attendee. But it's not so much coming to the building, but it's important for fellowship. Amen. Now, I like watching preachers on TV, and I have some favorite ones that I like to listen to on the radio. But for me, that's not enough. There's a need for fellowship. I was so glad when we had the parking lot service, for there was a time when we were at home and we might turn on TV, watch a TV preacher, or maybe we got online and we saw Dr. Lamont, I believe, was the first person to give a message on that Sunday. But as much as I love Dr. Lamont and I love my TV preachers, it's still not the same as being in the house of the Lord. I remember Leroy Jr. said, "What about a parking lot service?" I was so glad to be here. It was good to see your faces, even though I couldn't tell who you were because you were wearing masks. But it's a good thing, it's important. Hebrews 10:25 says we shouldn't make it a habit of not assembling together. Can you imagine serving dinner and I have 4 children. How come I only see 3? Where's the other one? Oh, he didn't feel like coming. Well, that's not the same thing without my child here. Go get him and tell him to come and eat dinner so he can be with his family. Luke chapter 14 and verse 6 gives us a good example. Luke chapter 14 and verse 6 gives us a good example of Jesus' attitude with regards to worship time. If we can get that on the board, I'd like to look at that one. Luke chapter 14 and verse 6. Next verse. And I may have written it down wrong. So let me go ahead and tell you what it says. Jesus went back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He went back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. What does brought up mean? When you were a child, you were brought up. Well, if he went back home to his hometown of Nazareth, where he had been brought up as a young man, what did he do? Where he had been brought up, and as usual, or as was his custom, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. So what was Jesus' attitude on the Sabbath? Was he kicked back watching cartoons? Was he playing his video games? How to create the world in 5 seconds? No, it says, as was his custom, he went to the worship place at the synagogue where he participated in worship services. And that's what the Bible says about Jesus' attitude concerning worshiping and fellowshipping. So let me ask you, if Jesus, who is our Savior and our model, could find the time to get up and make his way, as was his custom, to be in the meeting place on the Sabbath day, is that all right? Is that all right? So we want to make sure that if we're going to be a positive-minded servant with a mind like Christ, let us be like Christ and go and fellowship with the saints. Now, one would say, well, why did he have to go? I mean, he knows the whole Bible. He don't sin. Is it right? But he went anyway. Life is hard, folks. It can be rough. But we need to see our families. We need to see our friends. Because when we go to the house of the Lord, rather than live in a negative mindset, in a negative, evil world, when we come to the house of God, we can grow in the Lord. We can hear the preached word. We can hear the word taught. We can be built up. We can be challenged to serve God, as folks are encouraging us to do there in the house of God. So in conclusion, we have to think positive thoughts. We want to hear positive sounds. We want to see positive sights. We want to speak positive words. We want to perform positive deeds. And we want to attend positive places. So as servants of Christ, we should model our lives to be like that of Jesus. And in doing so, our thinking must be with a positive attitude. Doing nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, considering as more important than ourselves, others as more important than ourselves, focusing spiritually on positive thoughts, positive sounds, positive sights, positive words, and deeds, and spending time in positive places will help keep us from a self-centered, negative lifestyle. Christ, who is our model, we can look to him so that we can authentically serve others with a commitment to humility, having a mind like Jesus. Positively speaking. Saints, we live in a time when it's hard to be positive sometimes. We're living in a situation, this pandemic,